This morning's reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 18. Is that right, Everton? Because you changed them, didn't you? Just make sure I got the right one. I don't think they'll be up on the screen, but they're on... Oh, it is? Well done. They're on page 1160 in the Pew Bibles if you want to follow them. So beginning the start of chapter 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Mm. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Stuart. We just thought before Joan spoke formally to us that there have been a number of people here who don't actually know that much about Joan and Morning Star, and thought it would be a good opportunity if Jeanette interviews her. She's got one.
Hi, Joan. Many of you may have heard my testimony when I came back from Morning Star in December, just less than 6 months ago. And it's a great honour, it really is, to welcome Joan Adams here this morning. I did speak about her quite a bit in her absence, but I will reiterate, God uses this woman, her character. And I'm going to embarrass you just a little bit. I'm so sorry. Just look at her through and see Jesus in her, her humility and kindness, her godly wisdom. And I really honour this. So it's a huge privilege, Joan, to welcome you here in Trentham. And,
give me a minute.
Fiddling around. Yes, excuse me. It's all above board, don't worry. Thank you. Thank you. It's all right, we're married, if you don't know. It's okay. It's all right. So So Joan, thank you for coming. Thank you for bringing, for me and the church, a taste of Morning Star, along with other people too who've just recaptured that very special place that God's placed in my heart. So welcome.
Thank you very much. Okay. Am I on? Can you hear me? Did I press the right button?
It's only because you wanted Everton to fiddle with your microphone. Yeah. But he's not, okay? So Joan.
It's my privilege to be here today, and thank you very much for this invitation. I was just thinking that it was a small beginning coming into this church through Tim and Dawn Law many years ago, and look at it now. I stand amazed at how God has grown your interest in the work at Morning Star back in South Africa, how he sent people out from this church to visit us, how we've got David and Jan there long term, and I just stand amazed at what God has done. And so I just thank you for this opportunity. Most of you know who I am, that I come from a place in South Africa called Welkom, which is an prosperous mining area, but the falling gold price and the mines have closed down and all that has changed. And we're actually quite an economically depressed area in South Africa today. Mm. So I don't know what else you want me to say.
Can we just go back a few years?
Okay.
Tell me. Joan is the founder and also the director, general manager of Morning Star. We like the word director, but she calls herself general manager, but we quite liked that grand title, so we've given her that this morning. But tell us, from that very early beginning, what was it that caused that birth and that conception of Morning Star in your heart?
Well, you know, people have asked me this in the past, and I just believe what I'm doing what I was born for. And that's really quite amazing because as a little girl, my mother used to tell me how awful it was for her and how hard it was for her to grow up in an orphanage. My mother's own mother died when she was 8 years of age, and she and her siblings were then sent to an orphanage because the new wife didn't want the old children. And I told myself as a child that one day when I'm big, I'm going to have my own orphanage and the children are going to be happy. And so one thing led to the next. I became a nurse after I finished school. I did preschool education. I got involved with hospice and people who were dying. And then there was HIV and AIDS in the 1990s. And I just felt that this is what the Lord had laid upon my heart, is to start an orphanage for children with HIV. But the government wouldn't give me permission for that. They said, we'll fund you for a daycare center, which has actually happened. So Morning Star was born in the year 2000. We only had 8 children in those days. And it's grown to a medium-sized business. And I just can't believe that God has used me to do this.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Joan. As many of you here have known the story of Morning Star far longer than I have, but in the time that I've known of Morning Star, it breaks your heart, it excites your heart, it pushes you to the edge. Mm-hmm. How do you cope?
Well, you know, I think that without the Lord as my strength, I would not be able to carry on. And of course, he's placed a very good team of staff members around me. And I think that the wonderful thing is that we actually start most days in devotions together and focus on the Lord's word. And just having that as our anchor, having the foundation, our foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been able to go through many trials and tribulations over the past, and even at the moment, negotiating through the ones that we are confronted with at the moment. So the Lord is my strength.
Mm-hmm. And that passion, does God continue to nurture it and set it on fire and burn in you?
Somehow it just continues. So here I am. people say, when are you going to retire? And I just actually say, well, as long as the Lord has gives me strength, I will carry on doing what he has called me to do. In fact, I would love to do what I'm doing until the moment I die.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a woman of passion of God. Continue to pray for her. Again, thank you for coming. And Joan is shortly going to be talking to us about some of the work. And just drink it in. Get God to ignite your heart with some of the passion that God has placed in Joan. Yes, Joan. It's coming.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All my paraphernalia. Oh, thank you. That'll be great. Let me stand down here. I might spit at someone. Well, you know now, who I am, where I come from, and why I started Morning Star. And as I said to you, that in the year 2000, Morning Star Children's Centre was born. And in those days, I never ever dreamt that we'd ever have anything more than 20 children coming to our centre on a daily basis, because I just didn't think I was big enough to run an organisation larger than that. I was just an ordinary housewife. I had got five children of my own. I told you I was a nurse and I did preschool teaching. And I just thought, well, I'll start a little centre. And in those days, the children in South Africa were dying of HIV and AIDS in droves. And I thought, well, we'll offer a place of refuge for these children, provide them with good food, nutrition, medication, lots of love and stimulation, and then they would die and we would replace them with another 20 children. Never dreaming then what God would be doing over the last 15 and a half years. So today we have two centres, one in Welkom and one in Kutlalong Township. We have 135 children coming to our centres on a daily basis at the moment, and we have more than 700 on our register, many who have come through our daycare centres and have gone on to start their schooling in the surrounding townships. So, our purpose then is to provide an interdisciplinary daily programme of optimal care for children who are infected or affected by HIV and AIDS, so that they can experience the very best quality of care in a Christian environment. And this has always been our aim, is to give them the gospel. And I still truly believe that it is only the gospel that can save Africa, that can change South Africa, because we are a country beset with many, many problems at the moment. Corruption is rife. There's so much violence and so much mismanagement of funds and incompetency in government departments. And only the gospel can save South Africa. And so that is our intent. It's always been our intent to actually give the gospel out to the community, to our children, to their families, and just pray that God will send revival to a very troubled land. Our aim is to reach out to families, not just to the children. And many years ago, we realized that it's no use just reaching out to the children, but not involving the families as well. And so we've started an income-generating project called the Sedisadong Women's Project. We have support group meetings running every single month. We give out food parcels. There's a lot of counseling and advice given out, and people help with the various problems that they present with day after day. So, just you'll have to excuse me. This is my first time that I'm coming together with Glynis and seeing what's on the screen. So she's going to have to try and catch up with me. All right. So, when we started Morning Star, we had just a little preschool, and we put the children through this program, stimulate them, and to our amazement, in the early days, the children weren't dying as quickly as we thought they would. In fact, just because of good nutrition and mental stimulation and our little preschool and good food, up to 70% of them could be rehabilitated and not die. And we have seen many deaths over the years. In fact, we've had more than 270 children who have died from Morning Star over the last 15 years. But this has decreased. And right from the very start, we realized that this is what these poor children from poverty-stricken homes actually needed, was love and support. And so Morning Star started with a little preschool, and as time went by, this expanded. We bought premises in the Kutlalong Township, which is about a 15-minute drive away, and started a second center to reach out to children from this very needy area as well. But from our preschool, our educational side has really grown and expanded. And we now have two preschools, two reception classes, a little school at our Welkom branch, and even a remedial class. But what we didn't realize right at the beginning, that though we were giving these children life and they weren't dying, that because they had been so ill during their early childhood, their brain development had been affected. And so today we have got 720 children on our register, and of these, a quarter of them are 13 years and above. And of these, a quarter, at least a third of them, are struggling at school. And this is all a result of what happened when they were very small, when their viral loads were very high. And because of the stressors at home, not having enough food to eat, parents who had HIV and AIDS,
grandmothers who couldn't stimulate their children because of substance abuse in the mothers when they were pregnant with the child. All these stressors have combined to affect a child long term, so that as they're growing up in our country and living with HIV and AIDS, we are seeing more and more of them who are now not able to achieve academically, who have very bad memory retention and cannot concentrate. And so this has become the new scenario in our country, that little children, because they are on antiretroviral drugs, ARVs were rolled out in our country from the year 2000. Less children are born with the disease, but more of them are growing up and are presenting with problems which are going to affect our society long term. Now, for those of you that don't know, HIV and AIDS is one of the worst pandemics that the world has ever known. And the most hard hit is sub-Saharan Africa. UNAIDS say that 29.5% of our population, 29 million people worldwide, are infected with HIV and AIDS. And of these, 90% come from sub-Saharan Africa. And 85% of children infected with HIV and AIDS come from sub-Saharan Africa as well. And one can just realize what huge devastation this is going to cause long term. And so what we've done at Morningstar, what's actually happened over the years, is that our educational side has expanded, and we are seeing more and more of our teenagers who are having to drop out of school, even at the age of 17, 18, but still in primary school, not able to ever go to secondary school because they just haven't, are not able to pass the grade and to go from one grade to the next. So this is a huge, huge problem in our country. The educational standard in our local government schools is very low anyway, but with all these children now growing up and not being able to be educated, presents a huge problem for the future indeed. So we looked at doing skills development, expanding in that way, and starting skills development centres, but it would be just too difficult, too expensive, and so on a small scale, we are now starting to take our children in hand and teach them skills at Morningstar. So that there will show that we've got vegetable gardens, we've got some of our teenagers who are working in our gardens these days, we've got some who are working on our Sadisa Long Women's Project and learning how to sew. And this is how it's going to actually have to expand in the years to come. But the sheer number of children who are affected is going to present a problem in the years that lie ahead. sorry, Glennis, I have no idea where you are. Where I am. I think that what needs to be said, that is, over the years we've reached out to the families of Morningstar more and more, and we're giving out about 120 food parcels at the moment per month to our children who are from the most impoverished homes. We certainly don't give out food parcels to all 720 on our register, because there are some who are able to provide for their own family needs. And in the midst of serving the community, it is really our aim to grow people on a personal level and help them to take responsibility for their own lives, to provide for their own families, and take responsibility for their actions. So we support as well as we can. We give out food parcels to the most needy. We run monthly support group meetings for our families, for our children's carers and grandmothers. And at these meetings, that the gospel is presented to them as well, and they are taught about HIV and AIDS and just general life skills, so that they are better equipped to look after their children and to take responsibility for their actions. Also, what we do at Morningstar is we hold an annual vegetable competition, where we've taught the families how to grow vegetables at home. And we really do believe that if each one of them took this seriously and had a vegetable patch just the size of a door, that they would be able to feed their own family. Because that's the sad thing, that South Africa is such a rich country with so many resources, but that there's so much poverty and so many people and children going to bed hungry at night. And we just find in our society that a family would rather have a cell phone, mobile phone, or a television set than enough food or nutritious food for their family to have each day. And so we run these annual competitions, we have monthly support group meetings, we actually have a meeting once a year as well for our grandmothers, because many, many of our children's mothers have died because of HIV and AIDS over the years, leaving many, many orphan children, and mostly it's the grandmothers who look after these children in their old age. Now, HIV and AIDS is a disease that formerly killed a lot of people. And we don't see any decrease in the incidences of new infections happening at all, as many new people are being infected with HIV and AIDS as was the case 20 years ago. The difference is that little babies are generally now born without HIV and AIDS because the mothers are given antiretroviral drugs in utero. And so we really thought over the last few years that Morningstar would gradually have to close down, that we wouldn't get enough children to fill our premises, and that eventually we wouldn't have a Morningstar, there would be no need for it. But there are many that slip through the cracks, and we are also finding that even though a child is given ARVs in utero, that many are still presenting with HIV and AIDS, and at the age of 18 months, when they're retested, they're actually found to have the disease after all. So our centres are full. We've got little babies still growing up with HIV. We have many children who are on ARV drugs now, at least two-thirds of them. But these drugs have also proven to not be the total success or the answer to all the problems in our country, because they are very toxic. They, in fact, were apparently the first drugs given to cancer patients many years ago and were taken off the market because of their toxicity. So we've got little babies from the age of 3 or 4 months now on these drugs. But as time goes by, it is seen that their combination of drugs does not suit them. They start with all kinds of side effects, and the drugs have to be changed. And in some instances, a child even has to actually go off them for a while. So the symptoms associated with the disease include chronic diarrhea and a lot of chest infections, respiratory problems, skin diseases, thrush, large livers and spleens. There's a lot of tuberculosis. In fact, tuberculosis has become such a killer in our country, with people with HIV and AIDS able to get this every single year. So it's not just a once-off thing. Once you're treated for it and you can think, well, I've had it now for the rest of my life. No, you can be reinfected with TB every single year. And this, of course, is because the immune system is so suppressed in the HIV and AIDS person. But the ARV drugs cause side effects as well that are terrible. And we have some children and adults as well, who have terrible skin problems, skin lesions. We have one woman whose pigmentation has completely disappeared. She looks like an albino. All her skin is peeled off. We have others who've had strokes, lots of meningitis, lots of children, especially teenagers, who are succumbing to the illnesses and are dying still because of HIV and AIDS. So this is how the disease presents itself with an HIV and AIDS person. So we reach out to the families as best we can. We have all these education programs that are running, but the big way in which HIV and AIDS has developed in our country is the way that many more of our children are growing up with it and surviving the disease, but are presenting with long-term problems that are going to affect them in their adulthood. So, where are we right now? And as you've just read that scripture in 2 Corinthians, we find ourselves in the midst of difficulties that have just brought to mind once again that we're an organization that the devil would love to close down. We have been surrounded with issues since the beginning of the year, which really could have crushed us if it hadn't been that our hope and our trust is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And last December, I think, was the first when we heard that Sarah Wilkins, who's here with us today, she's our long-term Morningstar volunteer. She runs our educational side. She's been a huge asset to our organization, and she was diagnosed with cancer. So Sarah was unable to come back to Morningstar at the beginning of this year. She's remained in the UK and is in the midst of her chemotherapy sessions. And so it's been really hard. It was very hard at the beginning to think, well, how are we going to manage without Sarah to run our educational programs? And then shortly after that, we heard that the government, probably just before, we heard that the government actually want to move us out of our premises at Morningstar in Welkom. Over the years, we've occupied premises at the ex-provincial hospital, and we've been operating there free of charge at the courtesy of the Department of Health, the Free State Department of Health. So we've never paid for rent, we've never paid for electricity and water, and there's actually no way that we could even afford to do this, being a charity organization. And so we've enjoyed these privileges, which would have put us in huge debt if we had to pay for them from the very start. But all along, we've been told that they're going to eventually move us out of the Kopano premises, out of our Welkom premises, because the government are wanting to bring all the different government departments under one roof, and the ex-provincial hospital where we operate from will be the ideal place, which is actually true. But things have carried on, and nothing has changed, and 15 and a half years have gone by. We've not had to pay for our facilities. But we did get a letter last year, and we have been told that they are now seriously considering this, and that the time is going to come when we're going to be evicted from our premises, or that we're going to have to start paying for our facilities. That was the second scenario. The third one was that our little school is unregistered. We've been running our educational side of Morningstar since about the year 2007, and when we made inquiries those many years ago to register our facility, we were told, rather don't rock the boat, because you're in a health facility, being at the ex-provincial hospital, and there could never ever be rezoning of those premises into an educational facility. So just carry on, which we have actually done. But the authorities got wind of it, and of course are threatening to close that down as well. And then in the midst of all of that, we had David and Jan, who you know, who were in South Africa, who had to leave the country in a hurry and return here to the UK because of visa problems. And this is becoming an increasing problem with even many of our American missionaries in town having to rush back to America to try and renew their visas from that side because of gross incompetency, but also because there's been so much corruption and people coming into the country illegally from all over the place. So they went off and left us in the lurch, and we thought, now what on earth is God doing in our midst? And in the midst of all of that as well, my annual report to the government, to the Department of Social Development, we have to send our audited financial statements annually and let them know what's been going on at Morningstar. My annual report was rejected, and I resubmitted everything again, and it was rejected the second time. And of course, without a registration certificate, we actually cannot operate as a non-profit organization. And so all of these things were going on around us, all virtually at the same time. And there were moments when I thought, Lord, are you saying that Morningstar must close down? Are you saying that this is it? Let's just give up this whole thing. It's not worth carrying on. It's not worth the fight. But you know, just going back and just seeing the Lord's faithfulness over the years, and how there have been many instances where we've had so many difficulties and so many trials that if it wasn't for God, we could easily have actually thrown in the towel. But he has been faithful. He's brought us through everything in the past, and I know deep within my soul that he's in total control of what's happening at Morningstar even now. So here we are in the midst of all these trials, and what's happened even since I came to England, just last Friday when I was en route or just arriving in this country, back at Morningstar in South Africa, got a letter from the government to say that we are required to pay 21,300 rand per month in rent for our premises. And I had 7 days to respond. So that converted into pounds is about 2,000 pounds a month. That's not including electricity and water. And I just thought, well, there's no way we can do this. We cannot do this. We have got premises that we have got in mind that we've applied to move into, but there's no finalization of this because it's a hospital that's closed down, and there's a buyer that's in the process of actually buying the whole lot. And so we have got nowhere to move to, and also are in a position right now that we are not going to be even able to pay the money that the government is demanding from us. So here we are. But you know, I sent a letter out some months ago and just told all of you about all these struggles. And in the midst of David and Jan even being here in this country, God has raised up a successor for me. And you're going to see his photograph just now. because he's part of the management team now. And this young man, Tabogo, who was working for Morningstar up until the end of last year, resigned at the end of 2014 and said, I'm going to pursue my education further. I'm no longer going to be working with you. And he turned down the offer, even, of taking over from me, because this is a young man who's about 23 years of age, who comes from South Africa, who knows the culture, who knows the language, who's actually got the skills needed to run an organization like Morningstar, even as it expands even further, who turned down this offer. But it was just because God brought Jan and David back here to England, and he agreed to come back and help us whilst they were here, that he saw what goes on in my office and just said to himself, this is exactly what I want to do with my life. So we know that God is working behind the scenes. God is working behind the scenes in all of our lives, and he certainly is doing that right now at Morningstar. And I can stand here this today and I can say with absolute peace in my heart that he is in control of all the things that are going on around us back at Morningstar in Welkom, South Africa. And that just gives such peace indeed. Where are we on? Teenagers. Okay, just please go back, Glenys. I need to go to the slide that's got the ladies' shack that burned down. So just go back a few. Now, we operate in South Africa in the midst of a first and a third world country. There are very wealthy people living in South Africa, but the majority of the people in our area are poverty stricken. The unemployment rate in Welkom, with the mines that have closed down or downscaled, is huge, and we really do believe that at least 50 to 60% of the adults in our area are unemployed at the moment. And you can just imagine what the outworking of all of this is. We serve the poorest of the poor at Morningstar. We know that there are children, there are adults out there who have got HIV and AIDS that we'll never know about because they have access to medical aids and good hospital care. But it's the poorest of the poor that have got nowhere to go that we actually gather at Morningstar and reach out to. And this is just the remains of a shack. A lot of our families live in tin shacks. These are made out of corrugated zinc. They've got no heating, so they're extremely cold in the winter. They're very, very hot in the summer. Sometimes they don't even have windows. Many families don't have beds to sleep on. They lie on the cardboard on the ground with just the impacted sand beneath them. Many of them don't have electricity. They can't afford it, so they cook and heat their places up with paraffin. And of course, many of them have candles. Lots of them don't have clothes to wear. They don't have food to eat. In fact, our food parcels are often the only food that many of our families have the entire month. And our food parcels are very basic. They only cost us 200 rand, less than 20 pounds a month. So you can just imagine what can be in them that's going to support a family of sometimes 5 to 6 to 9 to 10 people. And so these are the people that we serve. And I just wanted you to just reflect on this scene, because this lady has got 3 children. She's got no husband. He's disappeared. And most of the children that we serve have never had a father figure in their lives anyway, because this is the trend in South Africa for men to be very uncommitted to a relationship and to move from one wife or one woman to the next and just produce more and more children, often infected with HIV and AIDS themselves. And this lady had a candle which fell over in the night, and they awoke to this complete devastation. Every single thing that they possessed, which of course wasn't very much in the first place, was gone. And so this is one scene, but there's another scene I want you just to picture. We have another little child at Morningstar who's just 3 years old, and they come from Lesotho. We have many families who've come over the border illegally, and Lesotho is an independent state, but in the midst of South Africa. And if I became the president of South Africa, I would take those borders down today and make it part of our land. But these people come over the borders into South Africa hoping for a better life, for a job, for more care for them because of the health facilities in Lesotho being so inadequate. And they are illegally in our country. Their children cannot go to school because they haven't got South African birth certificates, and they have no way of finding legal employment because they haven't got identity documents. And so this other little family are over in Tabong Township. The father went off to the local Shabin, which is a little pub. He obviously got drunk, got into a fight, and the next thing, somebody that he fought with followed him home. They came to the little tin shack, and in the fight, this man pulled out a gun and he shot the father dead, and one of the bullets ricocheted and hit the child in her head. So she's in hospital, she's paralyzed down the one side. And so these are the kind of scenarios that we are faced with on a daily basis. How do you bury these people? How are we going to get them back to Lesotho? How can we provide for them long term? What is going to happen to this family now that there's not even a man around who can go and find a temporary gardening job? So these are the kind of families that we are dealing with. The lady on the right there is just one of our other mothers who we've employed to go and help this particular family. The mother was ill, she could hardly walk herself when her shack burned down. And so we try and see how we can help just in small ways. We can never change a family's life, but we just want to take the edge off their poverty in one way or another. All right, we can go on. And then the next slide, Gladys, just with the new premises, just for people to see that these are the premises that we are seeking to be given, really, not even to pay for, although we have been able to set some money aside for them, where we'll be able to start Morningstar and even expand. These premises are actually ideal. They're right on the edge of Tabong Township. They're in walking distance of the people that we serve. There's a huge potential there for growth and for reaching out to the community in bigger ways in the future. And even our teenagers who are growing up with HIV and AIDS but are presenting with all these problems because they're unable to learn. To the Board of Governors pictures will just show you that some of our Board of Governors who met at our local annual general meeting. On your left is Taboho. So he's the young man who we have in mind to take over from me, and God willing, he will accompany me next year to the UK so that he can be introduced to all of you. He's in the midst of studying, and we don't want to hinder him in that. We want to encourage him to get his qualification as well so that he'll be properly equipped to take over Morningstar in the future. The most amazing thing is that he's already been in our finance department. He's already been as our receptionist. So he already knows a lot about the back workings of Morningstar Children's Centre. On your right is Joshua Balaji. He's our pastor, so he's the pastor of the Baptist Church in Welkom, but he's also the chairman of the Morningstar Board, and he's been a huge support over the years that he's been there. In the centre is Mr. Kevin Lombard in the front. He's our finance man. Next to him is this big man, is Mr. Johan Poe, and he was our labor consultant, and he played a very big role at Morningstar in the midst of all the problems that we had with staff over the last number of years, with all the thieving that took place. So he's been a huge support as well. And at the back, next to me, is Dr. Niwa Tiwa. He's a doctor, he's actually a physician, and he's been a huge support as well. Tricia is at the top there. You'll all know Tricia because she's our new correspondence secretary. And so when you get a letter from Tricia about your sponsored child or anything to do with Morningstar, you now have a face to her name. So, how can you really help us? You've heard all about Morningstar. You know what we do there. You know the struggles that we are confronted with, and how can you help us? And there are various ways, but one very important way is to come out and to work alongside us. I just can't tell you what a wonderful support David and Jan and Sarah have been in our midst over these last number of years. To have an on-hand handyman like Dave has been amazing. We don't have to go out and employ somebody to come and fix a blocked pipe or to hammer this or that down. So there's always scope for anyone, and I'm sure if you speak to the people out there on the left who've been out to Morningstar, you'll just find that there is always something that we'll find for you to do. So that's one way, is to come out and to see what's going on at Morningstar, to get involved in one way or another. Of course, everybody can't come out long term, but you're very welcome to come out for a couple of weeks. And we have had lots of young people coming out for a gap, a few months, after they finish their schooling. So you're always very welcome. Another big way to assist Morningstar, and this really is the way that we receive most of our funding, is through our child sponsorship program. We have a lot of children who are sponsored out individually to people mostly here from the UK. Now, if you just stop to think that 90% of our income is coming from England, from the generous people that I've met here in this country, it's actually amazing. We do still get some help from the local government, and I don't want to scoff at it, and of course we are always thankful for whatever we get. But this is the audience that God has used to bless Morningstar and to grow us. And do you know that we spend about 350,000 rand every month to keep our centre going, which I think is about 20,000 pounds. Just think, 20,000 pounds, and there's always money in our bank. We don't have a lot of money over. We only ever have about 2.5 months of funds in our bank account. So if you all stop giving, in 2.5 months' time, we'd have to actually close down. But over the years, as Morningstar has expanded, so God has continued to provide for our every need. And so at least 20,000 pounds are being spent on a monthly basis to provide food for our children, to buy them clothes, school uniforms for those who are at school, to give out refreshments, to pay our staff, to pay transport costs. I mean, we bring our children in and out from the townships to Welkom on a daily basis. We have 8 vehicles, and we have 38 staff members that are being paid, and God has provided. And I just stand amazed. I just cannot believe how he's been so faithful to us over the years. But still, our child sponsorship program remains the biggest way that you could actually assist us. Because what people do is they choose a child out of this book, and I've got about 40 children in this book seeking sponsorship. If anyone is interested, you're welcome to come and talk to us afterwards. And for just £25 a month, setting up a standing order for £25 a month for an individual child, you're ensuring that that child gets food and clothing at Morningstar, that we're able to reach out to the family when their shack burns down and replace some of the things that they've lost forever. To give food parcels, to provide medication, to pay for someone's funeral in the family, to send somebody to a far-off place in South Africa to go and get their birth documents so that they can qualify for a South African identity document. All these things is a way that you can help us at Morningstar and provide for a child. And of course, just by sponsoring an individual child, you can actually build up a relationship with this little person and pray for them. For that remains the biggest way that anyone here can help us, is to continue to pray for us and continue to ask God to strengthen us in our inner man, that we do not lose hope, that we keep our eyes fixed on our Lord Jesus Christ and know that he's in control. He has showed us that he's in control, and to just keep trusting him for the future. Another good way, of course, to support us is to send things over to South Africa. We have people who send gifts out for their children's birthdays and for Christmas. We have a few people who run with a Christmas program at Christmas time and go out to all their friends and ask them to please sponsor shoeboxes so that each child of Morningstar can get a Christmas parcel. The problem that happens with all of that these days is that postage costs are exorbitant. It's very, very expensive to send things to South Africa. And the other thing, of course, is that our postal system is one of the departments that's had a lot of problems. There was a long strike last year, so we got no parcels for months and months. And even now, I think they're semi on strike. So parcels don't get through as easily as previously. And it's hugely expensive. So people these days mostly are putting money into our account and saying, please take this extra money, go and buy my little child what she needs. But it is a good way for us to receive things, and we get wonderful gifts brought out, especially by volunteers who come out. And if you know anyone coming out to South Africa, like David and Jan, catch them now before their suitcase is too full so that they can bring over whatever you need and you don't have to even pay anything for postage. So that's the best way of getting stuff from here to there. And it really is very sad because there's an abundance of ways that you could help us with secondhand clothing and all kinds of odds and ends that we desperately need there but are just so difficult to get across from this country to that. But you can just see from the previous pictures that we get knitted blankets, knitted socks, toothpaste, toothbrushes, flannels. We need all these things, rulers and erasers and crayons, etc. There's a huge need, and as more and more of our children survive and go to school, the need, of course, gets greater and greater year by year. And then with your monetary support, and as I've said, 90% of our income comes from here in the UK, and we are very thankful, really, about this terrible exchange rate, because your pounds translated back in South African rands gives us 18 rand to £1 at the moment, which is absolutely amazing. It works very differently for me coming over here because I can't even buy a cup of tea. Everything is so expensive. So I came over with £25. That's all I could afford. And it's already gone. But the other way around, it's actually amazing that what you send back to South Africa can be translated into a huge amount of money, which of course helps us to reach our goals and to implement all our services. So your monetary support, of course, is very welcome. And you've been such a supportive church. I my heart is just full when I just look at you this morning, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for supporting David and Jan. Thank you for praying for us, because that remains the biggest way that you can actually help us. And very often in the midst of a trial on the other side, I'm very conscious of people praying here. And so I say, please just continue to keep us in your prayers. I'm just a frail person. I'm just an ex-housewife. And God has done amazing things at Morning Star. And I know that it's not me. It's not me at all. And it's only Him. And so I just want to say to any one of you who might have a dream or a passion, run with it. Don't let it die in your heart. Because if God can do this through me, then He can do great things through each of you as well. And I just encourage you to hang on to your dream and to go and make a difference. And you know, you probably, most of you know the story of the starfish, of the little girl who was walking down the beach and who found these starfish lying on the sand and picked them up and threw them back into the water. And a man came past her and said, "Well, what are you doing?" And she said, "Well, can't you see? I'm putting these starfish back into the water." And he said to her, "But what difference are you making? There are thousands on the beach. You can't possibly throw them all back into the sea. What difference are you making?" And she said, "I'm making a difference to this one and to this one." And that's all we can do at Morning Star. We know that we are only touching very few families' lives. We've only got 700 and something children on our register. So there are very few, in the whole scheme of things, there are very few people's lives that we are actually touching. But we are called to be faithful, not successful. And so that's my encouragement to all of you as well, to be faithful in what you do and let God do the work. Because it's Him alone, that is working out our salvation in what we do around about us. So thank you for this opportunity to share with you.